and welcome to the Giving Voice to Depression podcast. I'm Terry, the creator and co-host of this podcast. I've lived with depression most of my life, and I know how easy it can be to feel all alone in the experience. I'm not alone, and you aren't either.
And I'm Dr. Anita Sands, a licensed clinical psychologist with a number of my own diagnoses, all of which bring a certain amount of anxiety and depression along with them. There is great power in shared experiences. We share our own as we engage in intimate and candid conversations with our weekly guests, exploring different perspectives on and experiences with depression.
We keep it real because depression is real. We keep it hopeful because there truly is hope in spite of what depression tells you. Hello, Anita.
Hi, Terry. We are back with the second half of a truly helpful list of 10 ways to reach out when you're struggling with your mental health, created by mental health advocate and blogger Sam Dylan Finch. Like you, we have read a lot of posts and articles and listened to countless webinars, panel discussions, and podcasts that all hammer home the point. If you need help, ask for it. But those of us who've been in the depths of depression's pit and haven't told anyone know that throwing up a white flag is not nearly as easy as some sources make it out to be.
Which is exactly why we are revisiting this particular interview, which we originally conducted with a grant from the Charles E. Kubley Foundation. When we spoke with Sam, he had recently lost a close friend by suicide. He was having a hard time understanding why his friend hadn't called him for help, when Sam himself is a suicide attempt survivor and a mental health advocate and would have understood. But then in his own grief and darkness following that loss, Sam realized he wasn't reaching out either. Writing about that time, he says, "In the weeks following their suicide, my grief took me to dark places. I soon began having my own suicidal thoughts. And even then, when it was my turn to reach out, even after losing my friend, I began to withdraw too. I watched with painful awareness as I did much of what my friends seemed to do leading up to their suicide. I wrote myself off as a burden. I isolated myself. I got lost in my own head. And despite knowing the danger of where I found myself, I said nothing. After an especially scary night, I realized something. No one ever explained to me how to ask for help. No one told me what reaching out even meant."
Sam says he also realized that while all the standard advice on when and how to ask for support seems simple, it's actually vague. At best, in Sam's words, "I hesitated to tell anyone I was struggling, largely because I didn't know how. I didn't know what to ask for. And without knowing, it felt too complicated and too futile to ask." So Sam wrote a detailed, practical list of what to say and the specific kind of support to ask for, depending on just how bad a place we're in. And that list offers us all the specific language to use when we're in distress or crisis and need something or someone to help us through it. It's information we just don't hear, and having it at our fingertips in a crisis could make a world of difference. It's also information that you can share with someone in your life who struggles with the assurance that if they ever do ask you for any of these things, you'd be there for them. This is, as noted, an interview we've posted before, and it's likely an interview we will post again at some point because we think that Sam's ideas are real-world tested and very important for us to have, so we're not tasked with coming up with it when we're in a bad or even a dangerous place. So here with the second half of his fabulous list is Sam Dylan Finch giving his voice to depression.
Sam begins with some critically important questions that frame the need for a list like this in a care system as flawed as ours is.
What can we do to help people stay alive? What kind of tools can we give people that don't rely on waiting for a psychiatrist appointment that could take 3 or more months or waiting for a therapy appointment that's coming at the end of the week, or any number of barriers that exist because the system as it is situated doesn't always have immediate support in the ways that people actually live their lives actually need that support. So any tools that we can offer people to help them figure out how to navigate these situations.
The tools Sam is providing are specific, suggested language, phrases that could help us get the help we need and save us the stress of trying to come up with the wording when we're in a dark and unresourced place. We pick up with number 6, which is, I'm having a hard time taking care of myself. I need extra support right now around, and then name the specific task you need help with. Can you help?
I know that one of my big triggers when I'm going through some kind of episode is that if my apartment is a mess, everything feels about 10 times worse. And I think it's really valuable too, because to be honest, I don't think every single loved one in my life is necessarily equipped to help me when I'm in some kind of like difficult space. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure most of my loved ones can come over and, like, I don't know, help me hook up my cable box or help me do, like, the little things that could improve my quality of life. Mm-hmm.
There are so many levels on which this one makes sense, right? The person who's struggling gets needed help. The person helping gets to lay eyes on them, see their place, and get a feel for how they're doing and what other support they might need. And to people who want to help, but just don't know how, now you have a specific requested way.
I think you would be surprised by how many people are actually willing to mop your floor if they know that you really, really need that and that's a concrete way that they can help.
No matter what depression may be telling you about no one caring or maybe you not even deserving kindness, Sam reminds us that it is okay to ask for a hand. Helping make an appointment, getting your laundry done, going to the grocery store with or for you, whatever would help you move forward. Number 7 on Sam's list of suggested ways to reach out is saying, I've been feeling low. Could you please remind me about what I mean to you or share a favorite memory? It would really help me.
And I thought, how powerful would that be if someone were to ask for that from their support systems when they're in a really difficult place? Because arguably that's the moment in which you most need to hear those things. And I also think it's great because there are so many instances in which we don't really want to tell people, like, oh, I'm having this really, really difficult time. So to be able to, like, make it into something kind of fun, I just think is brilliant. Because you don't really have to be vulnerable in that situation. You can just say, I'm feeling low. You don't have to say why or how. And then you can invite people to contribute something, whether it's like a memory they have of you or something that they value about you. And I think that any time that you can kind of protect your heart and get something really, really nourishing in a difficult place is a really great approach.
And that outreach may feel smaller or safer than some of the others on the list. And again, it would counter depression's messaging that you don't matter to anyone. It could prompt a mini version of your own It's a Wonderful Life.
I really like the idea of reminiscing as a form of healing because I think those blinders can come up so quickly. And so to be able to reach out to someone and reminisce and remember the life that exists outside of that kind of enclosed space that mental health crises can kind of put you in, I think that's really valuable. That can be over coffee, that can be over FaceTime, that can just be like an email that you send.
Number 8 is near the other end of the spectrum. This one is designed to sound an alarm. Sam says this is the one to use when your survival instinct is letting you know that you are getting too close to the edge for comfort. Say, I am struggling right now and I'm afraid I'm reaching my limit. Can you give me a call? And then say exactly when you want it, whether that's right now, tonight, whatever you need.
So this one was really difficult to put on the list because I realized from experience and also thinking about my friend that what happens when you're suicidal and you realize that you're at the end of your rope? How do you tell people that? How do I introduce something that's really scary in a way that doesn't catch someone off guard, but also really honors that this is an urgent situation. And so trying to figure out what those words would look like, someone can adapt this to whatever language is natural for them.
Number 9 on the list acknowledges that not everyone has a close support network. Sam's suggested language in that situation is, I know we don't talk much, but I'm going through a tough time, and I feel like you're someone I can trust. Are you free to talk? And then again, name a specific day and time.
We think that the only people that we can talk to are these really established relationships of people that, you know, you've already had these lengthy investments in, but that's not always available to you. And I like the idea that if there is someone that's kind of on your radar as someone that you've thought about being close to, I don't actually think it's ever too late to reach out to someone and just see what kind of support they might be willing to offer. Relationships can unfold in all different kinds of ways. And sometimes it's very true that a crisis or a difficult time can bring people together. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It can be really helpful to cultivate those relationships.
Sam acknowledges that in it, you might not feel you have much to offer a newer relationship. But he says you can't let that stop you from reaching out if and when you need to.
Because I know people who will go through depression that lasts years and years and years. So when are they supposed to develop a support system? If you wait until you're like what you think of as like the ideal state to be enough for someone, you're going to be waiting a really long time because, you know, there's always some extra step to go in recovery or growth. I think believing that you're worthy of friendship right now and reaching out to those people that you already have a sense that you could get along and really asserting for yourself that you're worthy of those connections, however you happen to be that day, is really, really important.
And Sam's final and most critical suggestion is for when subtlety is neither appropriate nor safe. In the same way we're taught to be direct in asking someone if they're suicidal, if you are that someone, it's time for straight talk. Say, I am suicidal. I need help right now.
At least for myself, when I've been suicidal, sometimes I've been really reluctant to say anything, and I forget that sometimes an emergency is just an emergency. And that at a certain point, if it's a life and death situation, it warrants action. And action without apologies. If it's the difference between life and death, there is no reason to apologize, no reason to hesitate. It is okay to just say, I'm suicidal, I need help right now. Keep asking, keep stating what's going on until someone listens without apology, without reluctance.
If you are listening to this and thinking, oh, I just could not do that, or I wouldn't want to bother or burden someone, realize that's stigma talking and not your much-needed survival instinct. We wouldn't think twice to tell someone if we thought we were having a heart attack that could kill us. Or
if you drove your car into a lake and the car is sinking and you're just trying to figure out which way to swim, I don't think anyone is going to judge you when you emerge from the murky depths and you wave down a boat. I think at that point, people are like, let's get you out of the water. And I think similarly, when you're suicidal and you're finally at that point where acting feels inevitable, it's the same thing. If you say, I need help right now, it's an emergency. That's what it is. Because oftentimes we look at mental health struggles, sometimes it's like some kind of personal problem. There comes a point where it's an emergency, and it is absolutely okay to respond to it as you would any other emergency.
Sam and every single other person who has lost someone they care about to suicide will tell you without hesitation, they would rather have been called any hour of any day or night and been bothered than have lost a life they cared about.
If you only take one thing away from this episode, please make it be that.
Really and truly, if my friend had called and had said any number of the things on this list, there's nothing I wouldn't have done because I would so much rather than be alive. And at the end of the day, that is really, really very important, is staying alive.
So Terry, my takeaways from Sam's second half of his list, and the thing that I love so much is asking for specific things that would help does not have to be what we typically think of as like mental health related, mm-hmm. you know? So he said like mopping the floor, getting a week's or 2 weeks worth of dishes done, laundry, that helps you so much to kind of get your environment back kind of looking okay. And your loved one who may not have any idea how to help you feel better, mm-hmm. you're giving them something concrete to do that makes them feel like they are helping.
And there's the other half of that equation too, right? It's not just that having no dishes in my sink will help my mental health, but knowing someone cared enough to come over and do them for me might.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's support, it's love in action. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Just because we take care of externals doesn't necessarily mean internals change, but love and support and not feeling alone. The message of worthiness that I think comes across or has the potential to come across when someone is there for you makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember during a chronic fatigue relapse that I had just enough energy. I think I've probably shared this, but I had just enough energy to either pick up my daughter from school or make dinner for us. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the energy for both. And so having a friend that I could, you know, call and say, hey, could you pick up my daughter today, made all the difference for me and for her. And she never asked. She just said, absolutely. And that was sort of that sense of support in action that I needed. It did make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. I love the way Sam worded it. He said that reaching out is this skill that we're somehow expected to know, but it's never taught to us and rarely mm-hmm. modeled for us.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing we wanted to talk about before we close this out is that when someone is on that, you know, the end of the spectrum, that's scary. It is scary. When I worked at a crisis line, I was nervous when I answered the phone for fear somebody might be suicidal, and I was trained to take that call. But you don't have to know what to do. You mm-hmm. have to know to do something. And Anita, we had a conversation before we started recording about what that something can include.
Right. And I think this takes the pressure or the stress off of everyone if one of the things that you as the loved one or the friend could offer is, hey, could we call the crisis line together? Could we talk with somebody together? I'll be there with you. I can help answer any questions. I could be part of a safety plan that we might come up with, but let me do that with you. And that way, like you just said, you don't have to know what to say or what to do next. You've got someone, a professional on the other, a paraprofessional on the other end of the line who can do that with you. But being there and showing the support, the willingness to walk through that first step with someone, I think could be incredibly helpful at certain points.
And then if the listener, counselor, I never know what word to use for the person on a crisis line, if they say, you know what, it really does sound like you need some medical attention, then you know that. It's not your friend who walked in the house and goes, oh my God, you better go to the hospital, and you think they're overreacting. Right. Now, there are mm-hmm. a couple of opinions here, and you can go with your friend and walk in and say, I am having a mental health emergency. I am having a psychological crisis, as opposed to that whole scary scenario that so many of us think of where someone, and I'm putting in quotes, overreacts, because it isn't always an overreaction, calls the police, they come, you think you're going to be put in handcuffs, or, you know, somebody who was or you have been and brought to a hospital. That would discourage someone from reaching out for help. And we need help when we need help.
Right, right. And that's sometimes that is going to be the necessary solution. But again, if you're wanting to support somebody that you care about, saying, I will go with you, I will figure out what the next steps are. I will bring you anything that you need, that you're allowed to have. Again, feeling like you're not alone in this process can make even a scary process a lot easier to handle.
Thanks. And thank you again, Sam, for this list. As we said in the beginning, we have posted it before and done episodes, and we will probably do it again, because every time mm-hmm. we start getting those kind of questions and feedback to an episode we've done, my mind immediately goes to this list. So,
and that makes sense. It's a fabulous list.
Mm-hmm. All right. See you next week.
We truly hope that our podcast brings a little more understanding, helps you better articulate and reflect on your own experience with depression, or better understand how to support someone else who is struggling.
If this episode has been of comfort or value to you, know that there are hundreds of others like it in our archive, which you can easily find at our website, givingvoicetodepression.com. And remember, if you're struggling, speak up, even if it's hard. If someone else is struggling, take the time to listen.